It's Tuesday, June 4th, and you're listening to Idaho Matters on Boise State Public Radio News. I'm George Prentice. Recently released numbers from the FBI show a 17% increase in hate crimes in America. Police departments are noting spikes in anti-Islamic and anti-Semitic crimes. A project called Echoes and Reflections provides training for teaching Holocaust history in an effort to confront hate and intolerance. The nonprofit works with the Anti-Defamation League, the USC Shoah Foundation, and the World Holocaust Remembrance Center in Jerusalem. Echoes and Reflections and the Wasmuth Center for Human Rights will present a three-day seminar in Boise. It will be called The Power of Words. It's next week. And joining us today to discuss the seminar is Melissa Mott, Deputy Project Director with Echoes and Reflections, and Dan Prinzig, Executive Director of the Wasmuth Center. Hello to you both.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Melissa. Dan, let's start with you. Let's talk about, we understand that the Anti-Defamation League has recorded an increase in hate crimes in Idaho. What can you tell us?
This always becomes such a pertinent topic for us if we look at our own state history. If I go back just a couple of years ago when the Idaho Anne Frank Human Rights Memorial was vandalized with racist and anti-Semitic language, a national reporter called and the first question she asked is this who and what Boise is? That hurts. That's a part of our history when the Aryan compound had branded the state more as a haven of hate. So what we have to do is always be vigilant. We know our work is not done. So how do we train teachers to really confront the attitude, the practices, and sometimes the policies that are fostering hate within our communities?
Educating the educators.
Educating the educators.
Because it really is all about kids.
So much of the work of the Wasmuth Center for Human Rights has been about changing hearts and minds. Well, we know if we're going to greatly impact what's happening in the classroom, we also have to have a cadre of teachers who are not only cognizant of the message, but equipped with the materials, the resources, to how do you teach about intolerance? How do you teach about the impact of the Holocaust? That it was not a one-off, that it was not something that was once ago in history, but that the attitudes still exist. And so we have to always be vigilant. When we say never again or never forget, well, it also calls, we have to remind and we have to educate for a new generation.
Melissa, tell us about Echoes and Reflections.
Sure. Echoes and Reflections is, as you stated so well, a premier resource kind of for Holocaust education materials. We partner with middle and high school teachers all across the country. We provide support, we foster confidence, and we really try to like amplify the skills to teach about the Holocaust that teachers need. So we use really like a wide range of resources to do this. We use webinars and in-person professional development programs like to get in front of teachers to really make that impact. We have some international programs and online classes. And of course, we have like a whole kind of backbone of lesson plans that we use to really educate teachers and help guide them through the events of the Holocaust, as well as contemporary anti-Semitism, which of course, as you both were saying, has been so much on the uptick recently. We also just released an interactive timeline of the Holocaust, which can really help educators to go through systematically kind of the linear events that led up to the Holocaust and really pick apart some of those kind of more intricate civic, logistical, legislative movements.
Melissa, Dan, I want you both to weigh in on this. The fact is, everyone listening here learned about the Holocaust in public school. Where's the disconnect?
Well, I can tell you right off, in the state of Idaho, it's not required. Holocaust education is not on the books with it. So when we know it's being covered in the classrooms, it's because of the passion and dedication of educators who are making it happen.
Are you saying that we have basically passed on the responsibility to higher education?
We have. And so for us, we have always found the need to work with both language arts, social studies teachers, K-12 across the board. How can we weave in the stories, the themes?
Can I just pause you for a second, though? Why?
It's not required.
Yeah, I know,
bottom
but why? Where is that conversation?
It's a conversation that has to be in the Idaho State Department of Education.
But I'm guessing we've had this conversation. What's the problem?
Wait, just the disconnect. It's not seen as important. Wow. It's seen as a piece of history. We've had attempts, even working in state legislature, to require Holocaust education or genocide education. Of course, at the WASMA Center, and as we showcase in the Idaho Anne Frank Human Rights Memorial, the Holocaust was not a one only. And when we say never again, well, then let's talk about Bosnia and Rwanda and Cambodia and Srebrenica and the Holodomor. I mean, again, keeps happening with it. So that's why we continue to advocate that we have to educate about genocide.
And Melissa, can you weigh in on a national basis? I'm guessing this is not isolated.
Sure. No, absolutely not. And, you know, it's interesting because more and more states have been mandating Holocaust education. We've seen it on our end of the work over the last year. I mean, I think several states, Kentucky has been mandated just most recently at the end of last week. Oregon passed a Holocaust education mandate. So I do think that the tide is turning in terms of like a response to some of the rises in anti-Semitic incidents to incorporate and to legislatively like mandate Holocaust education more so into state standards. So, you know, there are kind of two sides of the story, I think, in many ways. And it's also, you know, it's growing in our memory from there's a historical disconnect that's happening that I think Dan was speaking to a bit as well. We are getting further and further from these events. So then it becomes, you know, kind of a question of how exactly does that education look and where are we kind of trying to implement it? And how is it getting to teachers and into classrooms and you know, in effect, in front of students as well?
We're speaking with Melissa Mott with Echoes and Reflections and Dan Prinsing with the Wasmuth Center for Human Rights. And we'd love to hear from you on this. You can communicate with us via email at Idaho Matters, all one word, Idaho Matters. At boisestate.edu or on Twitter, use the hashtag Idaho Matters or on our Facebook page, Boise State Public Radio. Dan, let's talk about next week. It is a 3-day seminar. Yes.
It is a 3-day. It's a very exciting program with, and it really creates an opportunity for educators to not only look at the resources, but to hear from the practitioners, those who have been teaching the materials, those who have been working with students in the field with it. We have always said at the Wasmuth Center, we have four buckets for our programming: international education, human rights education, civic education, and Holocaust education. But we're not the experts. We bring in the experts, and that's what Echoes and Reflections.
It's a very impressive
education. It is. The materials are phenomenal.
Just looking at it, what's interesting is there's certainly plenty of history here, but I was particularly intrigued in how contemporary much of this material is.
Well, that's even specifically day 3 of the Institute. We focus on refugees yesterday and today. It's connecting the past to today because we have to talk about the mass displacement of people after the Holocaust, after World War II. But let's then bring that to today. And I think that's what I've always appreciated as a career educator myself when I look at Echoes and Reflection materials. It isn't just about the past. It's how do we bring the concepts, the themes to its current audience? How do we understand them in a contemporary setting? And I think that becomes important, especially when we're teaching history.
Melissa, can you speak to why the seminar is titled The Power of Words?
Yes, I mean, and I think Dan can probably speak to this as well a little bit more in terms of like the development of that actual, like of our actual vision for the program. But, you know, I know in our, you know, from our perspective, the power of words, you know, words very much matter in our teaching and our understanding of the Holocaust. And we look at Holocaust education with Echoes and Reflections as kind of like a real opportunity to study like what we think of as a petri dish for human behavior and for moral issues. And we want to study the Holocaust in turn to learn about really the anatomy of that hatred and anti-Semitism, and also look at things like civic values and the importance of upholding like democratic institutions and the dangers of abuse of power and apathy of a citizenry. And we know very much that this is reflected in the language that we are kind of encountering day to day, especially in the form of media and form of propaganda when we look at, you know, an event like the Holocaust.
We also pull directly on the power of words with the example in the memorial, the Spiral of Injustice, a new statue that we added with the recent expansion and our own programming. The first level in the Spiral of Injustice is language. The Holocaust did not begin with concentration camps. It began with words, words that were used to demean, to marginalize, to dehumanize. Well, when we look at the roots of injustice in any set, even if I'm talking today, what's occurring in a classroom or a community at large, it starts with words. And so that's why we wanted to create a focus over the 3 days on the power of language, why words matter.
And I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you a little bit about the summer reading program. I am very intrigued by the target ages here.
Well, we have a lot of activity next week. So the Summer Institute itself is June 11th through 13th. But then on the 13th, we're starting a new reading program in the new Marilyn Schuller Classroom for Human Rights in the Memorial for ages 4 to 8.
Ages 4?
So this is a reading program where we have got a phenomenal cadre of our docents who are early childhood experts. They have selected the books that they're going to share with the children, but also activities.
But can you give me a taste of what that sounds like for a 4 or a 5 or a 6-year-old?
Stories on kindness, stories on mindfulness, stories on empathy. But the focus for the reading program, it's actually 6 sessions, 3 in June and 3 in July. The overarching theme, being an upstander. How do we care for one another? We learned that. We worked with a Holocaust survivor, Rose Bill, for many years, and she would talk about those who were standing by, the bystanders, who witnessed and did nothing. So we want a new generation of students coming to the memorial to hear about an upstander.
And to register for those
so
programs?
The Institute or the Summer Reading Program, it's all available on the WASMA Center website. So it's wasmacenter.org. Look under events.
And is there opportunity for next week's seminar for educators?
Yes.
And I guess we've got more than a few listening.
Summer Institute registration is open through this Friday.
Okay.
Registration fee is $40. We do have some scholarships available in special needs cases, but we would encourage teachers, give us a call, 208-345-0304 or wasmacenter.org. Look under the events.
And it's all day Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
It is 9 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. Mm-hmm. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Lunch provided and a whole battery of resources.
Excellent. Melissa Maud is the Deputy Project Director with Echoes and Reflections. Dan Prinzig is Executive Director of the Wasmuth Center for Human Rights. Thank you so much to both of you.
Thank you.
Up next, Idaho Conservation League talks about 2 lawsuits this week involving the Sawtooth National Forest. On a Tuesday, it's Idaho Matters. I'm George Prentice.